episode 69, where we like our eggs scrambled and unfertilized.
Yes, I agree with that statement.
I'm thrilled that my joke fell as flat as Tony's normally do.
All we were missing were some crickets.
Cheep, cheep. Yeah.
Cheep, cheep.
I don't know how to make cricket sounds.
Squeak, squeak? I don't know how. It's kind of like, what does the fox say?
Oh, no, don't start with that. It's just like Tony's here with us. Yeah, speaking of Tony, he and Matt have the week off. A little too much Grand Con and Oktoberfest excitement for those boys. So myself, Derek, and Kevin are here.
Hey, what's happening, everybody?
And we also have Jim back with us.
Yeah, it's been a while.
Well, for the listeners.
Yeah.
And not long enough for us, but, you know. So yeah, this is Drunk on Comics. This is our weekly podcast where we talk about comic books. We talk about conventions and collecting and other nerdly nuggets of fun, which we haven't pulled that one out in a while.
Thank you.
Yeah, that's that. I want T-shirts that say nerdly nuggets on them.
Yeah,
no, that is perfect, man. The Drunken Comics in the front, nerdly nuggets on the back.
Yeah, well, because that's normally where I find the nerdly nuggets are more on the backside, but. All right, guys, shall we kick things off?
Let's do this, man.
All right, we've got Off the Shelf this week, sponsored by Intercomics. It's inter-comics.com. So if you hear us talking about any of these books and you're interested in them, you can hop online, go check them out, and they will send you those books right to your door. So who wants to kick it off?
Dude, I'll start this off. I'm going to rock it out, man. Okay, so, man, I've been thinking back about all the shows we've done over the years, and I want to say that our listeners would be surprised about how frequently we talk about the Punisher. Okay, during these programs. Okay,
yeah.
Would you believe that the Punisher has been mentioned in 24.3% of our podcasts? Can you believe that?
I'm more impressed in the fact that you went and track down how many times.
No, I'm totally bullshitting.
Oh, man. Damn! I wanted that to be real, Matt.
Dude, could you imagine if we had those type of metrics on this show?
Well, yeah, I mean,
we'd be the fucking shit. At least, I mean, our podcast would probably suck balls, but yeah, but man, we got the fucking stats.
We've got the Punisher audience on the lockdown.
See, that's what we're trying to do with our podcast, talk about comics, but, you know, why go so narrow with our scope, man? Let's get narrower. All right, so this week I'm going to open my mouth and let words spew out and talking to y'all today about the trial of the Punisher. Number one, now, this is the very first Punisher title I've ever read.
Which, that amazes me.
Yeah. I mean, check out, we're actually doing, thanks for coming over, guys, to the lovely studios of my maison. But I got all these essentials behind you, and I think I even have Punisher number one, Marvel's Essentials Punisher number one. I still have never read it. Honestly, everything that I know about the Punisher is from that 2004 movie with Thomas Jane. Seriously, that was my first Punisher experience, really. I mean, I picked up, I know his origin story. I've never saw the one with Dolph Lundgren. But seriously, us just having a conversation about the Punisher, that's really where I know it. So I'm going to just dive right into it. First, some credit where credit's due. Written by Mark Guggenheim, art by Lionel Francis Yu, and colors by Sonny Go. So, in the trial of Punisher number one, we open up Frank Castle. Of course, you got to have him. He goes straight to the nearest PD, and he walks in.
That's police department.
PD.
PD. Yeah. Didn't want people thinking like, well, I don't know what a PD is. Like, Kevin's smart. I don't know. Sorry.
He goes to the local PD in NY. And he just goes and just gives himself up. Which is, in the first handful of pages, like, wow, that's how you start this story off. He just goes in, gives himself up. Oh, and he has a dead body with him.
In a duffel bag.
Yeah. And he admits that he did it.
Yeah.
Like,
oh, geez.
Okay, so this whole issue screams out to me. This. Why? How? The whole fucking time I'm reading this. Those are the questions. And that's why I'm fucking loving it. Why did he do it? Why did he give himself up? How the fuck is he gonna get out of this mess? I mean, how the hell are you gonna get through all this shit without getting a needle in your arm?
Mm-hmm.
And or AKA death penalty.
Or the DP.
What? He's going to have sex in the ass?
It's the DP. The death penalty. It's like the PD.
Okay. No, that's fine. So, so of course, you drag a dead body into a cop shop, and you're going to go to jail. And then you're also going to eventually be put on trial. Now, this is apparently the first time that he's been inside a courtroom.
Yeah.
Which blew me away. And yeah, because imagine the Punisher, he's been arrested a million times. And I got that nug of information actually from the back of the book. The writer, Mark Guggenheim, he wrote this little dialogue at the end of the book, and actually I don't normally read this shit, letters, I don't, just give me the story, but I actually read this three times because I just really enjoyed the story, and then I got to it, I'm like, you know what, I gotta squeeze every last drop of goodness out of this book, and I actually read that, and that's where I picked that up. It's like, wow, this is a brand new setting for the Punisher. I mean, he was in space, now he's in a courtroom. Wow, they keep on finding great things to do with the Punisher character, and I'm excited about this.
Well, and Kevin, I don't mean to interrupt, but I think one of the reasons why this worked so well, as far as the story aspect, is that Guggenheim's an attorney. You know.
No shit.
Yeah. And actually, you didn't read the last sentence of this thing, but
No.
Like, I mean, I
just give me this book.
I've followed him on Twitter, and I, you know, I researched him a little bit too, after reading this, and yeah, he's an attorney, which is perfect, because I think that's why this does work so well for the court scenes and the legal representation, and because he has a true working knowledge of that.
You know, and that shows very well when the defense, it really shows in the defense and how they carry themselves out in the story,
mm-hmm.
how she interacts with Frank. And how she interacts with the other people in the court, and it really shows. Thanks for sharing that, man. Honestly, I skimmed that part. But tip of the cap to the art.
Yes.
Dark, gritty, detailed. Really, at first I didn't really care for it, but like I said, I read it like two or three times, and then it just grew on me. My love for the drawing, the colors, I mean, it just grew as I don't know, it seems kind of silly, I had to reread it to actually, you know, find a connection with the art. There was actually a couple panels a little too graphic for me, but my stomach settles, is easily unsettled from violence, but overall, man, it is fucking good shit. The only thing I scratch my head about in this entire damn book is the last panel where it says to be concluded.
Yeah, this is one of two.
What the fuck, really? I mean, seriously, I thought it was a typo.
Yeah,
no. I thought someone, like, they fucking, oops, I goofed with the pencil. Seriously, I mean, the story is dense. There's so many ways you can go with this. And you really, I think they could have milked this a little bit more. So I don't know why they just decided to do two. But you know what? Fucking cares. I'm going to love these. I'm going to love it. I love this one. I'm going to love number two when it comes out. I hope. So, yeah, definitely. Trial of the Punisher number one. It's a must read.
Yeah, and I've got to go back on the art for 1 second because, I mean, this art. Now, it took you a while to fall in love with it. I opened it up, and I think you and I were texting back and forth talking about what we're going to be, you know, reviewing this week. And you said, you know, I think I'm going to do that. And I'm like, okay, because if you don't, I will. I mean, I was like a couple pages in going, oh my God. I mean, I had massive, like, nerd boner going on. Because
you didn't have just a regular boner.
No, yeah. No, it was the massive nerd kind. but no, it was for me. I mean, this is dirty. You know, I mean, like just dark, dirty, gritty. You know, scratchy looking, and the color palette from Sunny Go I mean, she is it a she? God, I hope so.
I honestly don't. I don't know.
Still go with they.
Yeah, because I mean, I've met male and female Sunnies.
Yeah. So anyway, we'll just the colors by Go though, like, really do accentuate, you know, the work by you.
Yeah, I gotta say, the last time I've seen Linnell Yu was in Secret Invasion, I think, years ago.
Okay.
And he's like completely. It from the credits, I'm assuming he's inked himself and everything. He's completely retooled his art style and stuff, and for the better, you know. Like thinking back to what I saw in Secret Invasion, after looking at this stuff, that's all stiff, and this there's so much energy going on in those pages right there.
The expressions on the characters, I mean, are just fantastic. It's perfect, but yeah. So yeah, Kevin, agreed. Must read.
All right, we agree about something.
We agree about lots of stuff. Oh, really? I don't know why we high five. People can't hear that at home.
Well, that was a very weak high five. So of course, no one's going to hear that.
Yeah.
Man, all right, Derek. I stole your book, man. I stole your off the shelf this week, man. What do you got?
That's okay. I actually have a couple off the shelves.
Yeah,
or off the shelfus.
Are you going to deliver them lightning style?
Off the shelf.
Lightning-ish, more like a flashbang. You know,
flashbang.
Like it's going to linger a little bit longer than lightning will. You know,
dude. It's fucking Jim. I'm excited for your. I'm so excited for your review. Sorry, Derek. I'm jumping ahead. Everything that we're saying today, I just got some dirty ass thoughts in my head, man. Flashbang.
Episode 69. Yeah. Nerd boners.
What was? Oh, yeah, nerd boners. Yeah.
So, okay, Derek, you read comics this week. Tell us about them.
I read lots of comics. And actually, the first one that I'm going to talk about is Fanboys vs. Zombies number 18. And you guys have heard me every month that comes out and I say it's a great book and you guys should be reading it. And I truly, honestly believe that. I've loved this book. The reason I wanted to talk about this one, it is, while it's number 18, it's technically it's a one shot. It's a, you know, it's a self, you know, comprised story. Everything's finishing up in here. Little bit of credit here, written by Shane Houghton. And art by Jerry Gaylord with ink assist by Brian Turner and Penelope Gaylord, which, once again, those guys were awesome. Yeah. I had so much fun seeing them at Motor City last year. But anyway, the reason I wanted to bring this up is that this is one of the stories of the four stories of the apocalypse, where they are taking a character who was introduced in the story, not one of the main group of people, but kind of giving them a solo story. Off on the side. And this is Gunther, who was the douchebag that they ran into after the apocalypse had broken out. And he's basically continuing to have a comic book convention in the middle of the zombie apocalypse. And he's got the Robert Kirkman-based character held captive there to continue signing autographs and books and shit like that. This one, he's in a comic book store, and he's surrounded by zombies, and he's figuring out what to do to get out. The story was great. I really want to focus on the fact that this thing is loaded with Easter eggs. Yeah. I mean, just loaded.
Oh, fuck. Right off the cover, it's an homage to Walking Dead number one.
All right. You know, I didn't even have to open the book to tell. I mean, this is going to be chock filled with eggs. Just the, you know, just all the little stuff.
Well, and you open up, you know, on the first, you know, on the very first page, it even starts where you've got, you know, Gunther as he envisions himself like trying to survive the zombie apocalypse. His bag has a Boom Studio strap on it. The bag itself says FVZ for Fanboys versus Zombies. He's fighting three zombies that are cosplayers: Vampirella, Slave Leia, and a hot Pikachu.
You know. Is there by chance an egghead Easter egg in there?
I didn't find the egghead Easter egg.
Egghead.
But yeah, it's the little comics that are on the shelf that you see in there. There's the Just Us League. You know, just
Steel Man.
Yeah, I mean, just
Bug Man.
You know, some nice Spider-Man tie-in. But you know, there are four zombies that you see like outside the windows that are the four main people from Scooby-Doo.
Oh, really?
Yeah. You've got you know your Daphne and Velma and what the hell, Shaggy and the dude with the scarf.
Fred.
Yeah. Yep. They're out there.
Ascot. Ascot. Come on, man.
You're an ass. God. Anyway, you know. This is one of those books, though, that there's something in here for everyone if you are a fanboy, and this is just fun. And even if, like, you're a Walking Dead fan, I know you haven't had a chance to read this one yet, there's, like, a two-page splash where it's a Walking Dead ripoff.
Oh, yeah.
It's in black and white. The main character is a sheriff. His name is Mick. And his and his wife's name is Dory. And it's that's just great. You know, it's awesome. So, you know, beyond the Easter eggs, you know, like I said, the story is fun. The art's fantastic. And Fanboys versus Zombies, I mean, this proved why this book, why I have so much fun and why I love it every single issue. So I recommend people give this a shot. Jim, would you like to jump in before I do my second review?
I figure I can probably do that. Well, seeing as it's episode 69, there's a lot of sexual things that are just hidden under the surface in this episode. Let's just put it out there and talk about issue one of Sex Criminals. You know, this is a new book from Image, written by the awesome Matt Fraction, drawn by Chip Zdarsky, I hope that's right. Who, you know, this is my first experience with this artist. Amazing. And then he had some colors from Becca Kinsey. And let's get into it. So this book is about this girl finding herself in through puberty and everything. And
she's maturing.
Maturing, right? And
blossoming.
And luckily, I picked this book up without reading any solicitations. And here's your spoiler for it. She can stop time with her orgasms. And that's when she teams up with this other guy, and at the end of it, you see they're pulling bank heists, but they're having sex in the bathroom right before they go
out.
So
they
can stop the time, right? The whole issue just focuses.
Kevin looks a little lost here.
I did not read Sex Criminals number one by Image Comics this week.
Oh man, but, you really missed out.
Well, what did they stop print? You know, did everyone buy them? I could buy it, but
I'm sure.
I love the premise, but do they explain how time starts back up again?
It's kind of a slow burn as you come down from the, but not the slow burn when you pee kind of thing. As you kind of come down from the high and your euphoria of the orgasm, it kind of starts again. But yeah,
there's also like really good commentary on like the taboo nature of sex as it is. Like this girl is realizing weird shit is happening to her at a very young age, and she's trying to get the answers to these questions. So she goes to her teachers, her fucking doctor, her parents,
the bad girls at school,
the bad girls. Hey, slut. But yeah, so there's also that really like just that commentary on how like we're keeping, you know, the younger generation completely clueless, and they're just thrown out in the world and supposed to find this all out on their own.
That's how we did.
Exactly, but, you know, that point's brought up in here. Onto, like the storytelling, there's really interesting, like, just panel layouts and the colors for, like, when this time stops, as you can see right here. Not the listeners, of course, but you guys. it's beautiful. It's a really gorgeous-looking book.
I will say, and this is not that I don't want somebody to take this as a negative because I don't mean it that way. The colors when the time stops and all that definitely reminded me of like Dazzler.
Yeah. It's all color, like it's all these different hues and stuff, and kind of trippy looking almost in a sense.
Yeah, very nice. Like, oh God, what's the word I'm looking for? Like pastels almost.
Yeah. But so like the narrative throughout it is constantly jumping around this girl's raising and everything and through like the older version of herself telling this story. The jumping around, it works. The pacing is spot on. Like it's a really long read. I feel like it probably goes over the 22 pages.
That is a chunky monkey.
It starts right on the interior the inside cover right there.
And there's not an ad until the very, very back. Yeah.
Reminds
me of like it was Zero that last week where you start right off and you keep on going. This is definitely a good buy. $3.99.
Yeah, $3.50.
Yeah. There are a couple things, Jim, and I don't mean to interrupt, but I will forget. Did on the credits page at the back, it says you've been reading Sex Criminals, Susie Down in the Quiet. Shame on you. But did you read the very bottom tagline? This book is dedicated to the brave men and women who love to fuck.
But two is the number two.
Yeah. I'm like, that's fantastic.
Yeah, as you can tell, we really haven't touched on it, but there's a lot of humor thrown into this book.
Tons.
There's, just to throw one scene out there, she's talking to the school slut in the bathroom while they're smoking cigarettes, and she's drawing with a Sharpie on the wall different sex maneuvers to teach her sex. And so
sex positions and
blubing, swaffling, reverse cowgirl, shrimping, the Dutch microwave, 3 second rule taco.
Which they won't show you that one drawn out. You know.
You just see the Susie, the main character's face in response to it.
there's humor in a lot of other fashions too. Mm-hmm. You know, when she's young, her dad's thrown out of a window and killed. And so she's like Halloween that year rocked, and she walks up and she's just wearing normal clothes. And
who are you for Halloween?
Who are you supposed to be? And she goes, I'm the little girl whose dad just died.
But like the whole time, it's really serious setting everything up. Her dad dies at a really early age. Her mother becomes an alcoholic. It's really sad. It like, the narration though, just keeps throwing in like, just wait, the jokes are coming. It's telling you in the book. But, you know, two mugs up for this one, sure. This definitely is a must read. I know it's flying out of shops. I think the print run sold out. This is Matt Fraction on top of his game, you know.
Well, and I got to admit, because I had to go back to the comic shop because I forgot, you know, I needed backing boards. And you're like, oh, you're going to pick up Sex Criminals? I'm like, I don't know. And you couldn't say words on the phone trying to explain because you were laughing so hard. I mean, you're just like,
when I was telling you to go pick it up, I was in a public place, so trying to like hold it in, I just read it. Yeah, that was impossible.
Yeah, so I'm like, I fucking hate you, but fine, I'll buy it. I mean, because it was a somewhat healthy week for me.
Yeah,
you know, on picking up books,
and you weren't
like,
disappointed, right?
No, I actually have to say thank you. It was a good call on that one. But, all right, last book for off the shelf this week for me, and Jim, I know this is another one that you read, is Saga, number 14. And it is written by Brian K. Vaughan and drawn by Fiona Staples. So this is, it's so hard to actually try and say something new about Saga, because Vaughan and Staples, I mean, they continue to make what is probably the best book on the market right now. I mean, just overall. The two of them combined have actually created such an outrageous world with these, like, insane characters and creatures and all that. But they've made it believable.
Wait. Oh, hold on a second. Are you saying insane good or insane, like, they're mentally fucked?
No.
Insane good.
Okay.
And here's the thing. I mean, not only have they made this believable, they've actually made a world or worlds that actually feel real, like they should exist. Yeah, it just blows my mind. Now, this issue was a little bit different, I thought, than a lot of the other ones, because I realized there's no shocking, one big splash page with some kind of nudity or graphic this or that in it. And I was like,
yeah, it's pretty toned down.
I'm like, okay. And there's no real action in this one. And that's a little bit removed from what they normally have done. This is much more character driven. Oh. And I tell you what, I mean, the character development in this issue alone is just fantastic. And Jim, we were talking about like the one scene between Marco's Marco's mother.
Oh yeah. Mm-hmm. One of the last times I talked about it on the podcast was that the one with the squirrel girl who you become really attached to in the first two pages, and she dies immediately. And he's like, are you kidding me? And it's this knack that Brian K. Vaughan has where he's so economical with the way he uses his characters that in two pages you have this scene that you're like, just emotionally, you know, attached to, you know.
Mm-hmm. For instance, the little baby seal wearing the little fisherman's overalls that you saw a couple issues back, and they throw in one panel of him, and I was like, "Fuck yeah, he's alive!" Yeah,
but there's like a Marco's mother and Oswald Heist, I think his name is, the mm-hmm. writer. They have this really lovely two-page scene that, you know, kind of like sets up this almost like blossoming romance kind of thing.
Well, and even not, it's one of those really just touching moments where you have two people who both have lost their spouses, one recently, one years ago, that are there and can help console each other. And I mean, it's just such a natural thing. But really, the most beautiful thing in here, and Kevin, I'll give you a little bit of background, and also our listeners, if they haven't read this book. One of the characters in here rescues this girl, very young girl from the sex planet called Sextillion. And she was a sex slave.
But she's like 6 years old or something, yeah.
She's a child. And he rescues her and you know, and she just calls herself Slave Girl. And they're like, okay, we're giving you a name. We aren't just going to call you Slave Girl anymore. Yeah. So they give her a name, Sophie. And this is new territory for her because she doesn't really know how to do this. And the Will is the character who saved her. He has this giant cat called Lion Cat who says nothing except when people are not telling the truth. And then he just says, lying.
What do you think he sounds like when he says that? Like, whose voice is it?
I kind of hear John Lovitz a little bit. Lying! You know? But yeah, I don't know. But there's a scene where Sophie is curled up with the lion cat, and she's like, my name is Sophie, 6.5 years old. I can stand on one leg for a really long time. My favorite color is blue-green. I want to be a doctor or dancer when I grow up. And then she says, I'm all dirty on the inside because I did bad things with, and before she can finish it, the cat just says, lying. And I'm like,
yeah.
God damn it. I'm like, that pulls at your heartstrings right there. I'm like, that is fantastic. If people are not reading this book, the first two volumes of the trade are out. Go buy them.
So, but with that said, chapter 14 is, can I just, I have not read Saga.
Don't jump in. What? You got to read it from the beginning.
You know, well, here's the thing. You can.
Yeah.
You like, and this is, like every other comic book out there, sometimes you just have to jump in. But with volume 1 and 2 of the trade paperbacks being so readily available, mm-hmm. and that will take you up through issue 12, you should be able to find issue 13, well, you know, still at your
the
shop.
The nice thing with the distribution is they take a month break in between each arc, and that skip month when like the next issue would be coming out, they put out the trade of the most recent issues. So at any time, you can just jump right in with the most recent trade, and then you have the next issue coming out right after that.
Yeah. But, I mean, if you can't find them, then just jump in. I mean, like, this is a comic that just shouldn't be missed. I mean, it's the epitome to me of what a great comic book should be.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, how'd you feel about, we got introduced to a new character, Even, E-V-E-N.
Yeah.
Who is,
Alana's stepmom.
Slash old best friend.
Yeah. That was, well, and there's always new characters in yeah. these books, too, which are great.
And they're never, like, it's never...
Yeah, well, fuck you. I'm just, Jim, you have the book open mm-hmm. right now, and, oh my God, how many different characters
it's
are there
It's a massive
right now?
Ensemble cast.
Just in one page, I'm seeing what, it looks like 7 or 8 different characters.
That's the thing, like, that Vaughn's really good with. He's throwing you, like, new characters every issue. You, like, in this issue, you get, like, 2 new characters, I think.
Well, they introduced those reporters in the last one, but yeah. now you get Even in here.
You had, like, 1 panel of them. But, yeah, so you got, like, 3 new characters, essentially, and you're always getting more and more characters. Yet, like, in, like, superhero comics, I see this a lot, with just the massive, you know, recalling old characters and bringing them relevant again. Like, you're just like, who is this? Why do I care? You never, like, have a character get reintroduced in this book where you're just like, I don't remember. Like, they're all very memorable, and that's he's one of the only writers I see pulling that off as effectively.
Yeah, and I mean, and the other thing, I mean, too, Kevin, you should just, even if you just flip through this, just to look at the pictures Fiona Staples art is fucking gorgeous.
Yeah.
All right, we definitely ran a little long on off the shelf this week. So, once again, brought to you guys by inter-comics.com. Go check them out.
All right, man. So, we get to get some news this week, man. There's a, you know, at first I was looking around, and at first I was kind of struggling to find some news, and then I just hit that pocket, and it just started flowing.
Yeah, it's, well, I think the big news this week, which is on the front of everyone's mind.
I'm interested. I'm all ears. What you think is the hot number one topic this week?
Coulson lives. Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Well, I saw that Coulson lives, blah blah blah, but it wasn't a big old surprise because of all the fucking TV promotions.
Well, no, but I mean, like that, right? That was my spoiler, was the Coulson lives, but just the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. in general, I think was the big thing.
Okay, what did you guys think of that show? I think we all watched it.
Yeah. We did all watch it. I watched it with Tony, and my words to him exactly were, and it was maybe 10 minutes in, probably more like 7-8 minutes in, and I looked at him, I said, if this wasn't a Marvel show, I would have turned it off by now.
Okay. Did you have that same feeling 50 minutes in?
Nope. I really started enjoying it. It's cheesy. It's campy.
Yeah. I mean, it,
but it's fun.
Yeah. And, you know, it's definitely a transition where we're used to seeing these Marvel movies and action-packed, special effects, and it shows in the TV show, you know, you can't blow 7 figures on a single episode. Yeah, you know, you can't do that.
It was pretty, I mean, they threw a lot in for, and it's a pilot, but there was a lot of, you know, explosions and flying cars and whatnot.
Yeah. I liked it.
I liked it. I may watch a couple more episodes. Really, I just feel like there's other shows I should be watching, like Arrow. I hear that's a great show. I should watch it, though. Stupid as it is, actually, my service provider, I get 3,000 channels. I do not get the CW.
Yeah,
it's fucked up. But here, my issue with the show. And this is my issue with most crime dramas and related shows, is when they assembled the team, they need to, for me, they need to make the team a little bit more realistic. And my problem is the age. They're all young people. I need some reality, because in the real world, I'm not going to see mid 20 somethings in the super elite team.
Yeah.
Agent Coulson, I can believe. Colby Smulders, I can believe that.
Mm-hmm.
But the other one, they're just too young and good looking.
I could believe one of them in the group.
Well, you had, but, well, I think her name is Melinda May, the Asian one who's, you know, pulled back in from doing desk work. Okay. She was believable.
Yeah.
I think you're mainly talking about the main guy, the main character almost.
The hard ass guy.
Yeah. The special agent.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I need some experience.
You need original David Hasselhoff Nick Fury.
What?
That's what I need.
Where are you going with that? David Hasselhoff Nick Fury.
David Hasselhoff did I think it was made for USA a Nick Fury show.
No, it's
made
it was
for
a
TV movie.
Yeah. Are you serious?
Yeah. Yeah. How did you not know about this?
I guess I was too busy watching that Captain America movie. From the 90s.
Yeah, no, it's
it was so awesome.
It was definitely an interesting. Now, the thing with Hasselhoff, I gotta admit, he actually looked the part.
Yeah,
you know, which is that's kind of the scariest thing. Oh, one little side note on the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Have you heard the rumors that people are thinking that Coulson might be the Vision?
Yeah. Yeah, with the whole, what was it, Tahiti?
Yeah, going to Tahiti.
Tahiti. Oh, yeah, when they had that small dialogue, like, he can never know.
It's, yeah, you know, my opinion on the show is, like, a lot of those things were just pushed to, like, fit the tropes of, like, just those that type of genre of story, you know, and it didn't feel very Whedon to me. I don't know. I guess I'll, like, tune in for another episode or two to just see if it hits. You know, most shows it takes like that until that third episode to hit its stride.
Yeah, I don't foresee me stopping watching it, because I don't have cable, and so, you know, but yeah, I don't know. Anyway. Back to news, news.
Let's stick on the subject of television, man. There was some announcements. I thought huge announcements that I honestly thought were almost a little under the radar, especially with the announcement that on Fox we're gonna have a Gotham inspired story.
Yeah. Now I know that this has been in the works for a while, but this was clearly, as Jim put it well, their rebuttal to S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yeah, well, they announced it the same night that S.H.I.E.L.D. aired, and hoping to, like, stir up something, I think, and it kind of just went right under the radar.
Yeah, it was, yeah, but
I'm really interested in seeing that show. I don't know if either of you have ever read the series Gotham Central.
No, I've not.
Mm. It's essentially, like, you know, stories about Gotham, but from through the eyes of the Gotham Police Department.
Yeah, that, and I love those type of angles to comics and for the different perspective. That's why do you guys remember from the early 2000s, Marvels? I think that was what it was called.
The eye of the photographer.
That's why, like, that was a really great series for me, anyway. Yeah. And so I hope that they roll with it and it gets good response.
Yeah, it has the potential to be really awesome.
Well, and this was one of my suggestions for any of these shows that are doing, you know, whether it's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. or whether it's Gotham. I think one of the best fan services that you can do in there is to when you can't spend the money on having the superheroes and all that in there, but Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., there's a problem, you know, little things like, hey, call up, you know, call up Nelson and Murdoch. We need a little extra assistance on this legal case. Or in the background, you see the window front that gets smashed out that says Nelson and Murdoch, you know, law office or whatever. Just touch on little things on the characters on their alter, you know, not on their alter egos, but their real life personas. Those would be so cool just to have those little touches in there.
Yeah, but like we didn't already stated like way before, like he's not bothering with Easter eggs for the most part. Like he just wants to focus the story on this ensemble of made up characters.
Well, yeah.
I mean, if the series takes off, then you got for eternity to throw in those little nugs.
Yeah. Murdoch is like such a flawless nugget to use. You never even touch on Daredevil. He's just a lawyer that helps out or something.
Yeah, you know, I mean that would be awesome.
So, well, there's another, and then also around the same time frame, NBC announced a new show based upon Constantine.
Yeah,
which is. I think that's a great move, but you know what, NBC, I'm gonna sit you down for a second, and I want to tell you something. Don't have a knee jerk reaction with this show. Yeah, I honestly think this is gonna be one of those shows you get a little you get a small bump in the first few episodes from your fans, but if the numbers are not there, I hope they can. And of course, script and whatnot. Gonna play into it, but don't pull the plug. You know, order up 13 solid episodes and air them all
in order.
Yeah,
well, that's Fox's problem.
Yeah, but I'm just saying
that was an interesting thing. Backtracking a bit on that Gotham show, Fox went straight to ordering a season. They don't even care to see a pilot or anything, which is doesn't happen.
Yeah, it
this Constantine show.
Well, you know what? It happens if. I mean, there's someone strong behind it. Before we started recording, there's a new series called Battle Creek coming out from the from
Vince Gilligan.
The guy who did Breaking Bad, and they just straight up ordered a full season of it. Or well, it's 13, 13 half season. Is that a half season?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So yeah, he's fucking just go ahead. Here's the checkbook.
I need those jobs. You know, where people just write me checks for no reason.
That ABC with Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., which is already going to be big enough as it is, but you have Whedon behind it too, they still ordered a pilot.
Yeah. You know, here's the one thing, though, with Constantine that I think I can't wait when this show comes out. How many people are going to go, oh, they based that on that Keanu Reeves movie.
Oh, jeez. I don't know how you're going to have a smoking British asshole on like as the main
demon
character.
Killer.
Yeah, NBC. I don't know if that's not the right place for it. Like that should be AMC or FX or like HBO or something like that.
You know what?
True TV.
Yeah, no, they can make it. You put the show.
I just don't know.
Hour long in the 10 o'clock spot, and then you can pull off a little bit more stuff.
Well,
that spot.
I mean, really, though, I mean, if you can pull off Blacklist, you know, and I think that was at 9 o'clock, that was a hell of a good show.
Yeah.
You know,
is that a new show this season?
What's that?
Is that a new show this season?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's good?
Yeah, it stars Ultron, James Spader.
You know, whenever I see him now, because he was in the Office, I think of his character. He was like a half season, so I always think of his... name as Robert California. That was his name in the office. So, what else caught your eye this week?
Man? I've got a couple things here. There were some teasers, some more teasers.
Fuck these teasers. Fuck them in their ass. I'm sorry, man. Do you like these?
I do like these.
God damn it, man.
I do like these because they make me do some guessing. The one, it's green and it just says global.
I see. Ooh.
And it says, you know, it's Jonathan Hickman, Nick Spencer, and Stefano Caselli. I don't have any clue on this one. I don't know.
It's a nice team, at least.
Yeah, that's a really nice team. But it says all will be revealed the Avengers panel, New York Comic Con, October 11th.
Oh.
So another Avengers title.
Are you surprised?
A teaser for a teaser at a convention.
Okay.
Yeah.
However, what was the other one? There was there's this purple one.
Yep.
The End.
The End.
Okay.
And it's just. It's Dan Slott and Giuseppe Camuncoli, and it's all will be revealed at the Superior Spider-Man panel. Now, this one here, I think I pretty much can already tell you because this is a true spoiler alert. If you don't want to know things about Spider-Man, skip ahead probably about 3 minutes. Because in the solicitations from Diamond that just came out this week, Amazing Spider-Man 700.1, 0.2, 0.3, 0.4, and 0.5 are coming out. Peter Parker is coming back.
That didn't last
long. 1 year. It'll be 1 year exactly.
And they're gonna keep it going from 700, like 701, essentially. Then, or
well, it's starting out with 700.1.
Yeah,
but then I think
after that,
are they gonna have like 300 special editions for each
point. Oh, I'm sure there's going to be 8,000 covers. So if you guys, you know, are still sitting on that, what was it, the Ditko cover? Or, no, not the Ditko cover. Who did the...
I don't
know. Somebody did. There's some, like, 1 in 200s or whatever. Yeah. There was one that was, like, based off of a Ditko, I think is what I was thinking. But I don't remember who did it. I would.
We based this off of Ditko. I don't know. Without the context, that could sound like the worst fucking thing ever.
Yeah.
Well, my mind is just keeps on thinking Ditka.
He's my Ditka.
I think
we're the only one who got that.
It's 'cause Jim has no idea.
Dude.
Yeah. Duh, Bears.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's part of the same skit?
Yeah.
I haven't seen that one.
Duh, Bears.
Yeah. So that was one of the things. There was something else that came out that I know that Jim was fairly interested, so I don't want to talk about that. The new She-Hulk.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
See, this just get to the fucking point. Don't give me this teaser shit. Just come out and say, hey, new She-Hulk series debuts in February. Check it out.
We have Javier Pulido, and who's writing it?
Charles Soule.
Charles Soule, yes.
Charles Soule has been... Charles Soule wrote some great stuff that I read. You know,
he's on the fast track right now.
Yeah, he's top. Yeah, he's and he's pumping out a lot of books, yeah, too. So, yeah.
Do
you think that's going to hurt him? I don't know. I don't know anything by Charles Soule.
Did you read? Well, and you may have read stuff and not necessarily noticed last week. Did you read the Swamp Thing 23.1, the Arcane?
No, I didn't. And if it was available, but none of the shops that I stopped in had that one.
That was yeah.
I think because I almost kind of wanted to use that as a launching point because. Everyone who brings up Swamp Thing will also say, awesome, must read, blah, 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 you know, similar shit.
Yeah, that was a really good issue, but that's what you, I would guess well, you'd
but,
know him.
But Charles Soule is writing about half of everything that's coming out of DC. Okay.
Yeah. I guess that's what the question I was going to get to is, you know, you barf out all this shit, doesn't the quality eventually...
Apparently not for him.
Yeah, I mean, he's doing kind of like what Snyder and Lemire kind of did a few years ago. I mean, like he's on that same track, or Nick Spencer, you know, where it's just like they keep getting thrown a lot of books, and then they finally get on those big, you know, you get to the point where you're running Avengers, and that's all you're writing. Or something.
Yeah, but yeah, so I mean that's kind of an exciting series that's coming out.
No, it's gonna be beautiful. It's gonna be a good story.
Yeah,
right there off the bat.
That's coming out in February. The last thing, Kevin, that you sent that I saw was that the letter U is being trademarked by Marvel.
What letter would you guys want to trademark if you could? Trademark one.
Maybe like X.
Yeah, I mean, if I was Marvel, I think I would probably have gone after the X first. Yeah. But yeah, it's for the Marvel Unlimited
See, I would go with W. Because it's just...
Y. No, I'm saying I'd like the letter Y. Why W, Kevin?
Because it sounds funny.
Okay.
Sounds funny.
Yeah, it does. I mean, you just say it 10 times in your head.
W-W-W-W-W-W-W-W-W-W-W-W-W-W-W-W-W-W-W-W-W-W-W-W-W-W-W-W-W-W-W-W-W-W-W-W-W-W-W-W-W-W-W-W-W-W-W-W-W-W-W-W-W-W-W-W-W-W-W-W-W-W-W-W-W-W-W-W-W-W-W-W-W-W-W-W-W-W-W-W-W-W-W-W-W-W-W-W-W-W-W-W-W-W-W-W-W-W-W-W-W-W-W-W-W-W-W-W-W-W-W-W-W-W-W-W-W-W-W-W-W-W-W-W-W-W-W-W-W-W-W-W-W-W-W-W-W-W-W-W-W-W-W-W-W-W-W-W-W-W-W-W-W-W-W-W-W-W-W-W-W-W-W-W-W-W-W-W-W-W-W-W-W-W-W-W-W-W-W-W-W-W-W-W-W-W-W-W-W-W
you know, you just get some warm fuzzies afterwards.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Yeah, like,
bumper to bumper.
I knew you were going with the Bob's Burger reference. Bumper to bumper. All right, I think that pretty much going to wrap it up here for...
we're all out of news and or notes.
Yep.
All right, man. So
I'm gonna
you got something on the turnpike?
I do have something on the Indy Turnpike.
I don't know. I'm sorry.
You should be sorry on that one.
Yeah, it's appropriate that your car sputtered out.
Yeah.
All right, I've got Empowered. It's a special one shot, 9 beers with Ninjette. And this is from Dark Horse, written by Adam Warren, and actually he did a couple of the pages of the art, but then the rest of the art is done by I knew I was going to screw up the first name, Takeshi Miyazawa, and I'll kind of pass this around for you guys to take a peek at here. This one here, now I'm going to preface and say I've only read a small amount of Empowered, and I've really enjoyed it because it's lighthearted, it's fun, you know, it's definitely, you know. Mm. Cute girls and, well, lots of tee-hee, ha-ha.
So you're selling me.
Yeah. But it's a very, like, the main character, Emp, which is funny because her name, it's like Alyssa with an E, Michelle Powers, so it's E-M-P, Emp. And I may be screwing up the first name on there, but...
Well, that's all right, man. This whole show is a bunch of screw ups.
But no, so she's a very endearing character. She wants to be a superhero, but she's kind of like the D list of the D lists on there. This issue centers around Ninjette, who she's a full on ninja, and the girl likes to definitely drink and party. And you know what? One of the Actually, Kevin, I'm going to borrow this.
Yeah, you know what? Now that I have it in my hand. Sorry, man. I just the size of the book is just kind of just.
Yeah, it's short.
It's a stubby.
Yeah, it is a little bit smaller. But you know, the writing in this is great from Adam Warren, and it's just some of the fun stuff. I mean, like when you have Emp talking about Ninjette, and that Ninjette's this super outgoing, you know, rock and roll all night kind of thing, where Emp is shy and reserved and insecure. It's a great line in here. She goes, I mean, look at her. Ninjette's just as good at hearty partying as she is at martial artying. And I'm like, this is great. But basically, Ninjette takes Emp out. And, you know, when you get into a couple pages, you actually get into the more Japanese style.
Oh, dude, that's totally manga-esque.
Yeah, yeah. And, I mean, it's really beautiful. But she goes through her process of drinking 9 beers and what each beer means to her. And it starts out very funny, and then it kind of gets a little bit darker, where you see that, like, her childhood wasn't that great.
One of those drunks.
Yeah. But then it goes back to...
You know, you get that first one in you. Woo! And then you start crying by the seventh.
Yeah, but then the third beer, you're back to woo, and that's kind of what this is. But you know, I mean, this was a book where I found that, you know, not only did I have a lot of fun, I found myself kind of looking beyond the characters on the page and more into myself as well. And so, I mean, Adam Warren, I mean, he really wrote a wonderful story, and he made a relatable character with Ninjette, which I didn't know if you necessarily could. But great, great book. It's really cool. It's fun. You know, like I said, I've only picked up a few of these, and I'm glad that I grabbed this one, and I'm looking forward to the next Empowered that comes out. So, I mean, it's $3.99, but there's a lot of story in here, and it's well worth it. So if you're looking for something different, this is definitely it.
Good deal. Yeah. So you're going to start picking up some manga now?
No.
That's the one thing I've always found interesting with Empowered is it always teeters that line of like manga and just Western comics, you know? Like, it's really cool how they screw around with that, you know?
Well, and the artists seem to change a lot in there too. And so it's, you know, it's this and this, because Adam Warren, his style and Miyazawa's style, definitely different. Very, very different, but they worked very well in this. So that's pretty much it. We got Best on Tap yet here, boys.
Yeah. What are you proposing this week?
I think Jim and I are both in agreement on this one. For East of West, number 6, cover by Jonathan Hickman. The dude's art is fantastic.
Wait, it's not Dragota's art on the top of it?
I thought this was Hickman. I thought Hickman actually did the cover. Now you're going to make me look. I don't know. It doesn't say.
But it kind of looks like Dragota.
Yeah, we'll call it a collaborative process. Yeah. I could be wrong, but no, I mean, I just this one, I found myself staring at this cover a lot. It's very, very simple, but you know, the reflection of the mountains in the guy's visor, just slick. And these are very simple, very well laid out, you know. Yeah. Graphic design covers, in a sense.
Hickman's always had, like, even back when he was doing Secret Warriors at Marvel, and you had that top half. It's a lot like East of West. But you have that top half with the art and a really nice composition, and then all this design work underneath it.
Yeah,
and
yeah. It's sharp. So,
That's pretty cool, though. Honestly, I was just going through, just doing some fact checking, make sure we're telling people of appropriate best on best covers. But I did stumble upon this one.
Man v. Liver.
I mean, I don't think it's a great cover, but it's mention worthy.
It's kind of worthwhile. I don't know. It looks like something I could draw, which I like those sometimes. Speaking of things that I think I can do, like draw, that happens a lot when I drink. And so
we all think after a few beers we can do things better than we actually can.
Yeah.
Like sports.
Yeah.
I can throw that pass. I can get the puck.
I can run across that road in front of those cars. They aren't going that fast. So booze in a book this week. Powerpuff Girls, number 1. And
that's awesome.
Yeah.
Dude, I've not heard the Powerpuff Girls in a long time.
Yeah, this was fantastic. I'm going to leave this with you just to read.
All right, cool, man. Who's publishing that?
This is IDW.
Okay.
Yeah,
of course.
Yeah, well, they own like every licensed property there is. But once again, and Mojo Jojo, pun intended, this is a chunky monkey of a book. But anyway, I'm pairing Powerpuff Girls with a new drink. I'm sorry, Jimmy, would you like to see Powerpuff Girls?
I'd love to see this.
I am pairing this with a three olives vodka tarts mixed with club soda. And
tarts
okay. is a sweet tart flavored vodka, and very simple. Club soda, don't do Sprite, because it'll be a little bit overly sweet for you. But like the Powerpuff Girls, you know, it's sugar, spice, and everything nice. And I think they go very, very well together. You can sit and sip and drink those all day long, and you can read Powerpuff Girls all day long. Like, you won't be bored with either of them.
All right. I'll have to try it, man. I'll have to try it. That sounds not right now. I got a hangover from you're not fucking believe, but sober up and
little hair of the dog.
Oh,
there's man things in this.
more or less, yeah.
What did you say? Man
thing.
Man thing.
There's a creature like an algae swamp creature that definitely looks a lot like Man Thing.
Well, no, it's emo Man Thing.
Yeah.
But, sorry.
Yeah, that's a fantastic book.
All right, man. Guys, you got anything for last call?
I got a few.
Did you always?
I actually only read the two books I talked about this week. All
right. What do you got, Derek?
Wolverine and the X-Men. number 36, which is the Battle of the Atom, and it's the first time.
Give me that cover, man. That's a big ass knife.
Yeah, well, and
sword.
This one shocked me. I went to two shops and I had to buy the variant cover because it was the only. They didn't have any regular editions left.
Yeah.
Well, the one place did, but they were thrashed, and I'm not going to pay full price for a comic that looks like I sat on it.
Thrashed? With damage in shipping, or?
No, well, it's a store that they don't take care of things well. Their racks are poorly laid out. The people that go in there don't handle them properly. So, I mean, it just. But then again, this was a shop that's not my normal, but I was out of town for work, and I stopped in. And I'm like, well, I'm going to pick up a couple things that are not on my normal pull because I dropped this one a long time ago. And they had two copies of this left, and they were both just terrible. But this one pissed me off, though, because I'm like, well, do you have Powerpuff Girls? No. Do you have Itty Bitty Hellboy? No. Do you have this? Do you have that? No. No. It was Wednesday at 11 a.m.
Yeah. We have two Marvel titles, and I think we might have a DC that came in this week.
Yeah, yeah, it was bad, but yeah. So I did say Itty Bitty Hellboy in there was a good one. Rat Queens was
Rat Queens.
Rat Queens, yeah. It's the new number one that came out this week from Image. And The Wake number 4 of 10. From Vertigo, Scott Snyder and Sean Gordon Murphy.
Okay.
Fucking killing it on that title. Oh, so good.
The only one I got to throw out there is Superman 23.4 or Parasite number 1, if you will. Parasite is always an interesting character for me, and to see kind of another origin story of him. Is cool. Very interesting take on how he's drawn, but definitely Superman 23.4. That's what I'll say. Check it out.
Nice. All right. Well, I think that's gonna do it for us.
And we apologize for the if you've heard any jingling. There's a lot of elves walking around and. we can't get him to stop.
Mike is gonna pick that shit up.
The elves, I hope not. No, like I'm the great thing. I mean, the elves are a little bit bothersome. It's the troll that's concerning me the most. So speaking of trolls, you should check us out online. You can find us at drunkoncomics.com. You can check us out on Twitter at drunkoncomics. You can find us on Facebook. Just look up, I don't know, Drunk on Comics.
Man, yeah, join Twitter. If you're not twitting, then join the Twitterverse.
Yeah, just join just for us.
Honestly, the thing that was the biggest surprise of talking to people at the convention were the amount of people who are not using Twitter. They're on Facebook, but not Twitter.
I held off on Twitter, and I wish I wouldn't have.
Yeah, exactly. I was a little hesitant, and you know what? Fucking dive right in. You'll love it.
My suggestion for everyone on Twitter is kind of
don't suck.
Well, kind of focus it on one area of interest is my personal, recommendation.
Sure. Yeah.
When you do that, like, I mean. Our Drunk on Comics, obviously the people that we follow are very comic centric, either creators or they're people that are maybe in the industry or people that are just big fans that, that they talk 90% about comics, man. We get so much information out of that, and it's so entertaining to sit there and read, and we don't comment as often on other things that are out there, but it's great.
I mean, I use Twitter to talk comics every now and then, mainly though, talking like agriculture with, farmers in Iowa. There's a big community of farmers.
That's funny because I've gotten talking about growing different varieties of Japanese mushrooms with somebody in Belfast.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah.
What the fuck? You guys also consult your farmer's almanac too?
No, it's Twitter.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right, well, I think it's time for us to play some X-Men Alert. That game is calling my name.
Oh, my God, yeah. It is. It is calling. Yeah.
It's sitting on the table, and yeah. So, all right, guys, come back and see us next week. Oh, later on this week, too, we are going to have the rest of our interviews from Grand Con being posted.
Yeah,
so,
we got the probably, what, 3, 4, 5 interviews are still to post?
Yeah, I think 5 or 6.
Yeah, a slow release. We're not going to two-pump chuck it.
Two pump Chuck. What, Jim
I just shit. We forgot to say, guys, beware. There's spoilers in this episode. If you haven't read your comics,
yeah, I realized that. The only real big spoiler.
We totally gave up on that.
yeah. Well, I mean, I figure if people are listening to a comic book podcast, they better be prepared for it.
Yeah.
So keep reading those comics. We'll come back and spoil them for you guys next week. See you guys.
Bye-bye.
We're the elves. And yet I feel that I'm growing older and older, and inside I just want to explode. Scattered pieces to lead my way home. Scattered pieces to lead my way home. Scattered pieces to lead my way home.